And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
We're pretty late in Tout Wars in the draft.
Why do you put the accent there?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to your most favorite hour-ish of impressions and then some fantasy baseball. It's Under the Radar. And it's draft season is heating up. With me, as always, my friend and yours, Ian Cann.
Hello, my friend.
Your friend of mine, Derek Van Riper.
Starting to lose track of the days. I only know that it's Tuesday because we're recording this show.
Our friend and yours, Ariel Cohen.
Hello, everyone.
You guys ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right.
Ariel Cohen, it looks like Ariel Cohen is going to make an appearance later in the show. It's, you know what Ariel Cohen has become? You remember, if you guys might be too young for this, but there was a Batman TV series that starred Adam West that used to be on when I was a kid. So I was born in 1972, so I'm old. I was, you know,
but it was on Nick at Night. When we were growing up.
Yeah, thanks, I've seen Batman with Adam West.
Yeah, that show I've never heard of called Batman. Thanks, Ian.
Okay, so Batman with Adam West. Every once in a while, like for six episodes out of all of them, Batgirl would come on. And so during the introduction, you would see Batgirl on her motorcycle ride in, and then you knew that Batgirl was going to make an appearance. And I was like 8 or 9. And I still thought she was freaking hot. I was like, oh my God, look at her. She's so hot. So I'd always get super excited. So I'd like to think that that's the, you know, when I do a little bit of the impression, you know that Ariel Cohen will be making an appearance on today's episode.
That was a very strange metaphor. Yeah. But all right, we'll take it. Yeah. All right. On today's show, originally it was kind of the Our Teams show. Ian wanted to talk about his labor team. DVR doesn't make requests, but
it's because he did his yesterday.
Yeah, that's right, because he's got his other show.
Right, that's why.
But in the meantime, there are just some players that, you know, the show's under the radar. There's some players out there who I think are worth talking about, you know, even outside the context of our teams if we don't have them. So I want to bring up some guys and see what you guys thought of them as well. So I don't know. Where do you want to start? Should we start with Ian's AL labor team, and then 20 minutes later we'll get into these other players? Do you want?
No, let's start with the other players.
We can start with the other players. I mean, I highlighted a few players that I was thinking about that you put on the rundown because I generally agree with your takes on those guys. Uh-oh. So maybe we start with the bold stuff.
All right, let's go. First guy I want to talk about was Amed Rosario. He's befuddling to me. His ADP is 435.52, but I mean, listed wise, it's number 351. I don't know which one you guys prefer in terms of ADP, but you know, 351st player on the board on average, but people are picking him right around pick 435.52. Anyway, you look at his numbers, he's got a nice average, developing power, speed. The projections have him for like right around 430, 450 at bats plate appearances, which I think is low. I mean, I understand there's a little competition there, but I mean, this is a guy who, you know, maybe if all things are going the right way, could be like a 15-25 guy, maybe even a 20-20 threat. We don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But DVR, since you bolded him, tell me how you agree with me on Amed Rosario.
Well, I just think he could do a little bit of everything. I don't think his batting average floor is any lower than what we've seen already. Like 248 when he debuted, 252 in the shortened season. Got up to 287 in 2019. Maybe that's asking for too much, but he puts a lot of balls in play. He does run well. He's a good defender. He's got a good arm. I think the only thing I'm wondering about, they brought back Cesar Hernandez, which I thought was really strange because when they made the trade sending Lindor to the Mets, I thought Rosario and Andrés Giménez were going to play up the middle. Maybe they'd play Giménez at short, move Rosario to second. I've heard that Rosario to center field is a possibility. I'm just wondering how all three of those players could coexist in the lineup together and what the priorities are going to be. With Hernandez being an older player, maybe they're willing to go ahead and let the two young guys play. But I think playing time is the only slight concern with Rosario. Otherwise, at the price especially, I think he could actually be a really nice value.
You know, that's I think I guess my view on Rosario is that Giménez is going to just not be a threat early on. They'll figure it out later, right? And maybe trade Hernandez or something. Ian, is that wrong?
I mean, I'm a little less bullish on him than you guys are. He was such a hot pick going into last year. You know, people were like, hey, this is the new young shortstop who's going to, you know, run and hit. And he really struggled. I mean, if we look at his, if we look at what happened last year, what did you say? What did he hit last year at DVR? He hit 252, but his OBP was only 272. His, you know, his OPS was around 640, and he just really struggled. I mean, the K rate went up, the walk rate went down. He was just not a very popular player, for the Mets. It wasn't a surprise to see him move. You know, the thing that I find interesting is he could be like a Tommy Edmund super util guy and get some time, but I think he's going to have to perform. I think Andrés Giménez is probably, in my estimation, going to get that job full time. At shortstop. But the flip side of that is Giménez, they could send him back down.
Right.
I mean, they could send him down for a little while as well. So, you know, there's a lot of questions there. You're betting on Oscar Mercado in center field. You know, is Naylor going to end up at first base, or is he going to be in right field? The Indians are a lot of moving pieces. It's an interesting team in that way. I guess at 435, it's pretty good. It's pretty decent value. I'm not counting on him playing every day. I mean, I'm just not. In my estimation, that's not going to happen. You don't sign Cesar Hernandez unless you're going to play him.
But you don't trade for Ahmed Rosario unless you're going to play him, right? Wasn't he the centerpiece?
Maybe, but maybe Giménez was the centerpiece. I mean, you're getting a couple of pieces there. I don't know. I understand why he's down there at 435. There's definitely upside. I mean, if he can put it together, I think that's a spring training stats situation where I'd be really interested to see how things go for the Indians. You know, is Mercado gonna do as badly as he did the year? I mean, you know, you look at these guys in 2019, Mercado was like the rising star, top 100 dynasty piece. And then last year he hit 127, you know, I mean, so who knows? There's a lot of moving pieces. I guess at 435, it's a real bargain, maybe even at 351, but he's not been a target for me. In AL labor, he was taken. I think he went for $13. Brett Sayre and Tristan Cockcroft really got into a battle over him, and Cockcroft got him. I'm pretty sure Cockcroft got him. No. Brett Sayre got him for $13. So there's upside from those two guys' perspective.
Man, I mean, like we're talking about a guy. If you believe MLB's pipeline ratings, Rosario was a number five prospect in all of baseball in 2017. I mean, he was top 10 for Baseball America. And Baseball Prospectus. Really? I mean, like, it's not like he's not a slouch. He's only 25. You know, it's not like this is like a 29-year-old.
He had his chances cut.
He was 10 in Baseball America. He was 5 in MLB and 8 in Baseball Prospectus.
Wow. Yeah. You know what's interesting too with Rosario is that when he was a prospect, I never liked him as much as a lot of the real baseball prospect analysts like him. So, I mean, people that rank for fantasy purposes probably liked Rosario because there's some power and some speed. But I think what really popped for him in the eyes of people evaluating from just a real baseball perspective was the defense and the arm and the speed. Because I'm looking at the FanGraphs grades. These are from 2017. I love that FanGraphs keeps these on the player pages, by the way.
I'm looking at the same.
It's a really good way to look back. It's interesting to me that Ahmed Rosario was a future value 65 player when he didn't have any tools that were at that level. It was like they took everything and rounded up on the future value, which is, it's something that I think you do when you get to see the player. And sometimes you see this with pitchers going the other way, especially, and usually it's the command that's short. You see two or three pitches that are above average pitches, but then you see below average command and you see a below average future value and you're like, what the heck? Like, this doesn't even average out correctly. Well, it's not really an average. And I think Ahmed Rosario is kind of proof that, you know, sometimes what they're looking for is a little bit different. I think it's belief that he was going to be a big leaguer for a long time, play somewhere up the middle, whether that's shortstop, maybe second base or center field, whatever that ends up being, that he would at least be good enough defensively to play in the big leagues for a long time. The hit tool was always the question, a 40-grade hit tool way back in 2017. I think he's kind of league average in that regard. I mean, he's keeping the K rate close to 20% for his career. He's at 20.8%. He's never been really patient. He's always been young for the level. I think that's probably factored into that future value grade too, right? I mean, think about it, Ian. If he was playing at Double A, he debuted at Double A as a 19-year-old late in 2015. That's really young for the level. So it's possible we haven't seen his best season yet. But even if he just took the best parts of what he did in 18 and 19 and somehow put that together over a full season, people would be really happy. And he doesn't even have to do that at the price to be a decent pick.
Yep. I get it. All right, Nando. Ahmed Rosario, yo.
Well, I don't want to be the guy carrying the Rosario flag. I mean, like, if he was going at, like, three.
You just picked it up.
I'll take it then.
You just picked the flag.
Let's see.
He's your guy. Go get the refractors.
eBay.com. There we go. If I'm not paying attention for the next 10 minutes, it's because I'm looking this up.
Okay.
So two more. DVR bolded another one down, number five. Two more players that I think are being underrated that I guess he agrees with. Amir Garrett and Archie Bradley. And I scribbled them down without actually looking up their ADPs, but I know they're low enough where, like, we're pretty late in Tout Wars in the
what?
Draft.
Wait.
Why do you put the accent there?
Yeah. What was that?
Tout Wars? You're not the first people who have said this, and I don't think I'm saying anything weird.
You're saying it weird. It's Tout Wars. It's not Tout Wars. I've told the story about Sophie's Choice. Remember I told that story about that woman that I dated who put the thing on Sophie's Choice? And I said, it's Sophie's Choice. It's about her choice. It's not about Sophie. It's Sophie's Choice.
I think it's about Sophie. She's the one who has to make the choice. Yeah, it's the wars of touts.
No, it ended the relationship, if I remember that story correctly.
You are correct. It kind of did. I was like, this isn't going to work. I mean, yeah, this
we
isn't,
can't continue down this
I mean, it's just not going to go long term. Let's put it that way. It didn't end the relationship right away. But I was like, you know, there's that moment where you're dating somebody and you're like, yeah, this is great, but I'm not marrying you. Like, we're not going to get married if you're going to call it Sophie's Choice. And I'm having that feeling right now. Tout Wars.
Tout Wars.
It's interesting. I know let's just take a half moment to decide this. Is it no, it is Tout Wars. It's not Tout Wars.
It's Tout Wars.
It's not going to change the way I say it because it's in my head now, but Tout Wars?
It's Tout Wars.
Whatever.
It's the wars of tout. Not Tout Wars.
Tout Wars. Yeah.
There you go. That's better.
Touts. All right, whatever. Let's not come out. People don't want to hear this.
Yeah, they do.
The point is, first of all, Ahmed Rosario's rookie card is being, it's cheap.
Then, you know what? If we're Ryland Bannon-ing it up, let's Ahmed Rosario it up. It's interesting. I have one more pick coming up in TGFBI, in the TGFBI draft, and I'm going to go see if Ahmed Rosario is there. Because, actually, I also have Andres Jimenez on this team.
I don't get maybe I'm like hanging out with Vaquero too much and him just taking Mets all the time. But, like, I think I have a totally skewed view of – well, maybe not because DVR agrees with me. But, like, Rosario, I thought
– Rosario's gone.
Was the next big thing and is about, you know, still has time to be the next big thing.
Yeah, that's, you know what? There's a lot of value there. I want to see where Rosario went because it's worth a look. In this league, Ahmed Rosario. Talk amongst yourselves while I find it.
All right, DVR. Let's take a look at Amir Garrett and Archie Bradley and why you agreed. Is that where you're going?
So I'm very, very slowly opening the Glarf draft room. It's Great Lakes area. Rotisserie Fantasy League. I think I talked about it a little bit last week. The closers fell a lot, the bottom tier closers, which I think you can put Amir Garrett and Archie Bradley in that third, fourth tier, wherever you want to draw your lines. Both of them could just take their job and run with it. I think Garrett has more intriguing skills to me, so if I only get my choice of one, it's Garrett. I think the addition of Sean Doolittle actually makes it easier for the Reds to justify using Garrett later in games because they have another lefty they could bring in a little earlier. I do wonder if Cincinnati might be one of those teams that steers closer to a committee, but I'm with you. I think both of those guys are falling a little more than they should. They're viable options when you're looking for that third source of saves in mixed leagues.
It's the way I'm looking at it is, well, Garrett, you know, last man standing, big dude, Derek Johnson, the pitching coach, is like if you look at what Derek Johnson has done since he came in 2019, at the K per nine rates of those pitchers and what they were and what they are now. And you could pick out like Sonny Gray, like, you know, stuff like that. Derek Johnson's amazing. And I think he can turn Amir Garrett into a big, tall weapon as a closer. And Archie Bradley, I mean, they paid for him. They brought him in. I don't, you know.
How much did they pay, though? I mean, they didn't. By the way, Ahmed Rosario in the 18th round. So he was taken quite early, comparably by Dan Strafford. And not bad. In the same area as Austin Riley, Jonathan Scope. So he might have needed speed. I like Amir Garrett as a closer. I think he's tough. I remember back to, I think it was a couple of years ago where he I got on Puig for starting a fight against the whole Pittsburgh Pirates team last year when he was on the Reds. But I remember Garrett. He's got a interesting attitude for a closer. I think it's a good fit for him. I really do. And he's got good stuff. So if I had to choose between Bradley and Garrett, I would go with Garrett as well.
Former basketball player, St. John's.
Yeah. St. John's.
All right. We hit on them. Just a couple notes, and you guys stop me where you want, and then we'll get into our teams. I'll just run down the list here. Jake Bowers, DVR favorite, has a 463 OBP this spring and hasn't gotten hit, though. But, look, dude, he's still in contention to win the first base job.
Is he?
Yeah, he is. Is he? Yeah. By the way, has Roster Resource been down for you guys?
No, it's up.
For some reason, maybe it was last night when I was doing it. It just wasn't putting the full page on. I tried in a couple browsers. I feel so lost when I don't have Roster Resource.
Roster Resource is really good. I mean, right now on Roster Resource, Bowers is the first baseman. But then, if Bowers can't quite pull it off, what you're going to see, Jordan Luplow is going to get some time against lefties. But Josh Naylor is going to move then to first base, which is his natural position, which would make a lot of sense. I think a lot of it hinges on Mercado. I think if Mercado can hold down that everyday job, you're going to have Eddie Rosario every day in left field. There's no question about that. But then where Jake Bowers goes is gonna tell the tale. And then maybe let's say Bowers doesn't make the cut. Naylor's gonna play. They're gonna put Naylor at first base. Then maybe there's another spot there for Ahmed Rosario to do he could end up playing quite a bit.
Put him out in the outfield.
Yeah, for sure. He's athletic enough to take care of that. I'd be curious to know if he's been taking fly balls or not.
I don't know. That's a good question. That's a Zach Mizell question.
Okay. Let's reach out to Zach. Right. But yeah, Jake Bowers, 463 OBP this spring, zero batting average. That's pretty interesting.
Well, see, to me, that's important because he's walking. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like someone who's not swinging the bat well, which he kind of is, but I mean,
he's not swinging the bat well.
he has the upside of he's taking walks. You know, he's showing some patience and he's being selective with what he's trying to hit.
Or maybe he's like that kid on the Little League team where you're like, take a strike, take two strikes. You got to walk. It's the only way you're getting on. No, only take one strike. Never take two strikes.
Remember that.
As a Little League kid. Yeah. No. And don't take a strike till it's 2-0 and then take a strike. Take a strike. What are you doing? It's Little League.
You haven't mentioned Little League in
several Little League
weeks.
Is coming back up. I just got off the phone with the commissioner talking about this coming season. Very excited about it. It's going to be great. It's a lot of fun. All about the kids having a good time and growing. That's what it's about.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say if you want to say any of their names on air so DVR can edit them out before we...
Mr. Contreras, I'm telling you. No, it's fine.
No. I was joking.
Hey. Oh, sorry. It's fine. You can totally... Mr. Contreras, listen. The commissioner told me earlier today that Mr. Contreras wrote in the email, I know that it's not... You can't really ask to be on a team, but if you can put my son back on Ian's team, that would be very helpful because he learned and grew so much as a player and as a person. So that's Mr. Contreras.
And what would Ariel Cohen say back to him?
Well, you know, it's very hard to make sure that we got to save that. It's the dessert. We can't do it too soon. You just can't do it.
DVR, let's talk a little Nomar Mazara. He had some interesting quotes. I'm intrigued by Nomar Mazara. He had COVID. Well, first of all, going back to before last year, he talked about how he had a thumb injury in Texas for like a year and a half and never got it corrected. And then coming into last year, he got it corrected. I think he had surgery and had a regular offseason. He was ready to go. And then he got COVID. And then everything was delayed. Everything was delayed. And then he got COVID. So here's his quote. Last year was probably the first year I felt like nothing was working for me. If it would have been a long season, I would have been like, let me work on this. In my mind, there was no time to do it. And the numbers bear this out. You look at the last five games and the couple playoff games, and he was hitting the ball well. So now Nomar Mazara is on Detroit. And poor probably Christian Stewart... gets bumped. I would assume that's who's losing the playing time. Nomar Mazara, new home in Detroit, has shown some promise before. DVR, is this, again, I didn't look up the ADP like I should have, but let's just assume it's like 500. I mean, I think he's lower than Ahmed Rosario. So big value here, DVR. I mean, he's probably going to play a lot.
I think there's a good chance there's some value. Yeah, he's outside the top 450. He's still available in my TGFBI league, and we're in the 26th round. So could be a bench outfielder in 15-team mixed leagues. I think the interesting thing with the Tigers is how they handle the playing time. in the outfield between Mazzara, Victor Reyes, and Jacoby Jones. And Mazzara can't play center field. Reyes and Jones both can, but obviously Reyes could play in right if they want to sit Mazzara in different situations. But here's the thing that's blowing my mind right now. I didn't realize this until I just put it on the screen. Victor Reyes is older than Nomar Mazzara. We've seen Mazzara in the big leagues for, I think, 5 years now. He hasn't ever taken that step forward we were hoping for. You know, maybe we're at the point now where he's not going to be the player we expected him to be back when he debuted in 2016, but I think he can bounce back to the player that he was in 2018, 2019. He was kind of a metronome guy, like 20 home runs every year, 250, 260 average, not a great OBP, but you put that guy sixth in a rebuilding lineup, let him play nearly every day, sit him against tough lefties, and you end up getting pretty good numbers at the end of the year. And if he does unlock that last thing that made him a top 30, top 40 prospect on some lists prior to his debut, then the Tigers, you know, found a really nice player they can maybe flip or possibly have back in 2022.
I mean, they can build around Mazzara if he turns into it. My problem with Mazzara, and he was even higher than that. He was a top 20 prospect. He was a bat that he was being talked about back in the day as like a special bat, right? And he kept moving up, and Texas really pushed him, and he got up really early. And my problem with Mazzara is the shift. Also, my problem with Mazzara is Robbie Grossman's there too, right? So Robbie Grossman's going to play.
They signed him
to a contract. Victor Reyes is going to play. Jacoby Jones is going to play. But it's the shift. Nomar Mazzara hitting into the shift is really problematic because he just hits into the shift. You know, it's like when Mark Teixeira's career ended because of the shift. I just think that Mazzara, I mean, maybe it happens for him this year. I'll be rooting for him, but I won't be, Glenn Colton bought him with Rick Wolf in AL labor for $3. I think that's a fine price for him. I think that's about what he's worth at this point in an AL only. By the way, to give Glenn Colton a little bit of crap, I spoke to him this weekend in preparation for AL labor, and he said, you know, Ian, like everyone else has like really nice sounds, and mine's just like a, like, what's that about? And I was like, are you serious? You're complaining about your, you can't complain about your, come on, man.
Sure he can. That's him.
Glenn's the best. I love Glenn Colton.
Get him a new sound.
All right. Let's figure out a new sound for Glenn
Colton. Can't just bellow all rise.
Now, let's get an actual gavel.
He has a gavel, doesn't he?
Yeah, I do. I have a gavel.
It's behind him.
No.
It's by the wig. It's by George Washington wig.
You really want Ian to wear the wig for an episode.
Yeah, I do, man.
That is not going to happen. No, that is not going to happen. The wig is retired. The wig is happily retired. If I ever play the part again, they're going to have to give me a new wig because it ain't going to be that one. That wig has done its job. But anyway, Nomar Mazzara. That's where I am on Nomar Mazzara. But yeah, there's upside there. I mean, if you can get him, a good place to get him is one of the 50, you know, the 50 round NFBCs. Grab him in the 35th, 38th round. Who knows? He might really bring some value. He could. He could unlock it. You can believe in that.
I feel like he will, you know?
Well, okay. I mean, maybe. I give it a 18% chance.
I'll take it.
Okay.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
By the way, Ian's dynasty rankings on the site are blowing up. We've seen behind-the-scenes numbers, and it's been quite the success for Ian Khan.
Well, that's nice.
You knew that was going to happen. You know.
I didn't. Well, no, but what I know is that I haven't. The problem we have is on comments, they don't like. I don't know when I get a new comment, so I've got to like remember to go back because I do very much enjoy responding to people's questions, and I've gotten a lot of them. And so, but my problem is that I forget, and then someone responds to one of my responses. So I got to go through the whole thing again. But yeah, no, it's really great. It's really fun. I've had a great time, and now I'm looking, and yes, okay. Yeah. Okay. I've got a lot of things I got to answer.
Oh, that wasn't like a passive aggressive way of telling you got to answer some comments. I was saying Ian's dynasty rankings get a lot of love.
Yeah, well, here is someone who makes an excellent point, and this is new. Sorry, I'm just catching up now. Cannot understand how you have Royce Lewis on both lists out of a dozen players with more current and future value. You are right, because this list dropped about an hour before Royce Lewis went bye-bye for the year. So I should probably update that. But I just don't have access to it. And Nando's like, well, just text me and I'll change it for you. So I'm officially going to text you and say, we got to get Royce Lewis off the list. Right. Certainly in the top. Yeah.
But actually do text me, because I'll forget when we're done with the show.
Okay. Very good.
Because I've got a million things, you know. Make sure you don't say any kids' names, move on to the next topic, make sure DVR gets to talk, and make sure we get an Ariel Cohen impersonation in here.
It's coming. It's coming. Yeah, I know. It's coming.
Okay. Nomar Mazara. Mark that one down. I looked at walks. I just wanted to see, like, this is actually off the Jake Bowers thing. I'm like, all right, so he's walking. Who else is walking? There was a very interesting name on there. And let me just, like, there's Akil Baddoo, who I think Cody Stavenhagen wrote about. He's our Detroit writer, which, by the way, if you subscribe for Ian's Dynasty Ranks, you get all this included in your athletic subscription. But Cody Stavenhagen, and also, by the way, there's a lot of March Madness stuff coming, including a very cool guy we brought on, Peter Keating, who used to be at ESPN, did the Giant Killers thing. He's got this new one called Slingshot that he does with his Furman math team. And he's already identified, like, potential 11 to 16 seeds that can pull off upsets. So that's also nice. Included in your athletic subscription. But go to Ian's page and subscribe through that if you want to do it. I think it's got the best offer right now. Anyway, so there's this guy, Akil Baddoo, who Cody was writing, like, Detroit kind of likes him. So, I mean, mm-hmm. Throw him into the mix, too.
Akil Baddoo would be an interesting pickup in dynasty leagues because he's going to be in the majors and he's young. I mean, he's 21 years old.
Well, if they keep him, he's going to be in the majors.
No, but he's a rule five. They're going to have to keep him.
Yeah, but they can send him back if they don't.
They're not going to send him back. They like him. Okay. So he's, you know, he's in spring training so far. He has really done quite well, and he runs. Like, if you look at Akil Baddoo in 2018, he was 19 years old in low A, stole 24 bases in 437 at-bats. Not bad. And 11 home runs and 11 triples, which is kind of fun. But 24 stolen bases plus only 5 caught stealings. Not bad. Interesting player.
Very interesting.
I mean, not amazing, but interesting.
He wasn't the one. And also, so Rylan Bannon was on there. He's tied for the lead with 5 walks.
He's also doing some stuff.
He is, man.
He really is. You know, it makes me laugh every time. I'm like, Rylan Bannon, another good day. Wow. Look at that.
Joe Adell has 5 walks. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, he's not exactly under the radar, but I do think, like, he's that guy who can, well, I mean, you know, he's like he's the face of Tops, basically, but I mean, maybe for fantasy purposes and where he is in terms of ADP, and if you just kind of woke up and you're like, this guy Joe Adell goes pretty low in ADP. We kind of ticketed him for superstardom. He disappointed last year. I mean, Mike Trout disappointed his first call-up, too. He hit, like, 210. You know, like, not everybody's perfect. Ian, like, Joe Adell walking 5 times. I know we all say spring training stats don't matter.
I don't say that.
Does something like that matter? Oh, then go, please.
Yes.
Go.
No, I don't say that. I look at spring training stats. I think that teams look at spring training stats, especially on the margins like this, right? So Joe Maddon said Adell is definitely going down to the minor leagues. That is actually, like, the best thing that he could have done for Joe Adell and for his confidence, because all of a sudden now he doesn't have to press as much. It's not like, I got to make the team. He's not going to make the team right out of spring training. And I think, you know, Cockcroft got him for $3 in the AL labor. I think it's a pretty good price. I could see him coming up in, he's definitely somebody, I just drafted him in TGFBI. I'm going to stash him. Maybe he comes up in June, because Dexter Fowler is not going to, you know, light the world on fire in right field. A lot of moving parts still, but yeah, no, Joe Adell, we weren't the only one that ticketed him for superstardom. I mean, BP.
No, I'm not saying it was us. I'm saying, like, everybody was.
Oh yeah. Because yeah. BP has had him as the number one prospect in baseball last year. And they still believe in him in that same level. They just say, hey, look, he's going through his process. He'll get there. He's going to grow up. We talked about this on the show from the beginning, freshman year, sophomore year, junior year, senior year, right? The baseball players break it up into, like, 3-year categories. He is a freshman, man. He is like playing with the big boys for the first time, just finding his feet. It's look, I'm buying Joe Adell in Dynasty Leagues because he's still cheap. He is still cheap.
How cheap
it's
is he?
Time
actually,
to buy.
I think that's a good question. What is the Joe Adell street value right now? Like, what can you get him for real?
I would say right now on the, I think I'm pretty high on him still, but on the win now list here, we have him at 79, right? So you can get him for Ketel Marte based on this list.
I'd do that. DVR, would you do that?
Yeah, I would.
I think I would too. A guy on this list at 73 on the win now list is a guy who's going to be going up quite a bit higher. And this is actually, he's not on the rundown, but I'm just going to throw him in there. Hello, Bobby Witt Jr. Hello, Mr. Bobby Witt Jr. Are you going to be the starting second baseman for the Kansas City Royals at the age of 19? Because you might be the best player on that whole darn team already with a 480-foot home run yesterday that went like over and over and over every fence.
It wasn't like it was 500 though, you know?
Yeah. Okay, but it was 484 from a 19-year-old. He's starting again, leading off at second base. I would not be like if he had hit that home run last week, he would have been rostered in AL only. He is now not rostered in AL only. He will be rostered in AL only. I mean, if he's playing, open it up, man. Like grab him. In fact, I might grab him as my last pick in TGFBI just on the possible upside that he could start the season up. It's not impossible. He's really good.
We
knew he was really good. I drafted him in the BP. I'm doing the BP prospect draft, which is kind of fun to finally be asked to be a part of that. And I had the 11th pick, and I took Bobby Witt Jr. very happily at 11.
I like it.
I like it too.
I like it a lot. Yeah. Okay. So that was the note on Joe Adell. Franklin Barreto has 3 doubles this spring. Then I just went and looked at the spring stats to see what else has happened. I think doubles are kind of telling. I mean, I get it, you know, like home runs, whatever. But like doubles, you're making good contact with the ball. Franklin Barreto has 3 doubles. He's in the mix for a starting job still.
No, he's not.
Come on.
No, he's not.
Who's going to start? Tommy Edman? Just because you love Tommy Edman.
Where is he going to start?
Second base.
For David Fletcher's going to start second base.
David Fletcher's not going to start second base. Franklin Barreto is.
I bet you a bottle of rhubarb. I bet you a bottle of rhubarb. I do have an interesting Franklin Barreto story. I drafted him as my last pick in the reserve round, and there's a reason why, and it's kind of clever. I'm excited to tell you about it.
Go.
Tell you now? Okay. Well,
no, wait.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Go. No, tell us now. Come on.
Oh, so Franklin Barreto was my last pick because as I was going through and doing the reserves, I realized I had bought David Fletcher. I got a good deal on David Fletcher for $9 in AL only. And that's pretty good, right? And I'll talk a little bit about the overall values and the hot spots, as they say. And I got Jose Iglesias for $4 in AL only. So I realized I have David Fletcher and Jose Iglesias. I have the starting middle infield for the Angels. So with my last pick, I had a choice. I could have taken Tyler Wade, which I was strongly considering, but I decided to go with Franklin Barreto. And here's why. Because if either one of those two guys goes down, Iglesias or Fletcher, Barreto goes right in at second base.
Iglesias gets hurt a lot too.
And then Fletcher goes to short, and then I've got my backup sitting here. And it was the only position that I didn't have protected was second base. So that's why I made the choice to go with Barreto at the end.
I like it. I think it's
wise. I thought you'd be happy because no, it's your boy.
They were both on our team last year.
Iglesias was too?
I think he was.
Okay. Well, there you go. But
I
now
had a lot
Barreto,
of Iglesias last year.
But I think Barreto, like he's going to have, like if he does not get the job after that, they're going to release him. Like
yeah.
They traded Jermay Jones. Like they're putting Barreto in a position that he can succeed.
Well, 3 doubles. You know? Yeah. Yeah. DVR, 2 more sleepers I want to throw into the mix. Maybe not sleepers, but guys who are going lower than I think they should. Christian Pash and Enrique Hernandez. Hernandez is kind of a known commodity-ish. But Chad Jennings, in one of his previews, has Enrique Hernandez batting leadoff for the Red Sox. Yep. And that's a good – I mean, like, I know the Red Sox sucked last year or whatever. And, you know, their rotation was terrible. But that lineup is pretty stacked and loaded, man. The Red Sox lineup is good. And Alex Cora's back. And this guy batting leadoff and being able to play second base, then maybe Christian Arroyo plays second in the mailbag. Jennings said, you know, that'll just shift Hernandez to the outfield, move some things around. I think that's just a case of someone going too low. Christian Pash is a guy who David O'Brien said should win that center field job. I think he said something like he'd be very surprised if he didn't. I mean, that's also a very potent lineup that he'll be a part of. DVR, do you like these guys at all? Am I looking too deep into things or what?
I can't see what Chad sees in Kike Hernandez. I don't know why they would lead him off. He's got a career 313 OBP. I think he's a bottom third of the order guy. I think he's helpful for them. They got him and Marwin, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, where they can play those guys all over the place. They've got good depth. I do think that lineup as a whole is probably a little better than people are giving it credit for. It's not where it was, of course, with Mookie Betts and David Ortiz both there a couple years ago, but I think JD can bounce back. I think Bobby Dalbec's pretty interesting for cheap power. Mm-hmm. Alex Verdugo is very solid. I think Verdugo is the guy that's going to lead off. So that's to me like almost in ink as far as your Red Sox lineup construction goes. But Christian Pache, I mean, it's interesting that there's such a split on him in the fantasy community versus the real evaluators, totally. Much like there might have been with Ahmed Rosario years ago. Like Pache mm-hmm. should be a gold glove center fielder for a long time, right? So that gives him a ton of opportunities to play regardless of what happens with his bat. But I wondered if I was maybe guilty of overlooking just how good he was during his time at AA in 2019. He was 20 years old at AA. Christian Pache put up a 134 WRC plus, so 34% better than league average. It was over about two-thirds of a full season, so 104 games. It wasn't like he did it for 30 games and that was the best he ever was over a limited sample. I just wonder if the bat is following the glove. Like the glove's always been advanced, the feel's always been good, so he keeps moving up and it all could click, because the pie in the sky sort of expectation for Pache is that aside from gold glove defense, he might get a 2020 player someday. And I'm coming around on that, whereas previously I wasn't really on board with that sort of ceiling.
I could see that.
I like Hernandez more than Hernandez interests me. I like the idea that he's going to a new team. I think he is going to play every day. His hard hit rate is 71%. His outs above average, 78%, DVR's right. His walk rate is low. His K rate isn't so bad, though. He's fast. I love the way he plays the game. He plays with his heart. I think that Boston's really going to like him. I think that there's real upside here late in drafts. Christian Pache, I think Ender Inciarte is going to be getting some time there. So I'm a little less bullish on him personally, but I would go with Kike. Between those two.
Oh, I wasn't thinking between that. I think they're on two different levels. I think I got the same concerns DVR has about we don't know what this Pache bat is going
to
be.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see it first. One guy that's not on the rundown again, and he's real under the radar, but he is under the radar, is Shohei Ohtani. If you didn't see him pitch this weekend, take the 8 minutes and go find it on YouTube. He pitched 1 2/3 and struck out all five guys. His stuff is obscene. He could be, I grabbed him in TGFBI in like the 18th round or something. Like he was just falling. And I was like, you know what? I was almost going to do a Nando DeFino move and wait till he pitched to make my pick. And I said, you know what? I can't do that. So I'm just going to take Ohtani.
That's not a move. That's not a move.
No, it is the move. No. That's your move.
No, I said that's, I can understand that strategy. I don't do it, but I can understand
it. Okay. But I almost did it in that spot. And then I was like, no, you know what? I'm just going to take him. Because going back, and then I traded for him in a dynasty league on Saturday after I saw him pitch, or Sunday, because I saw him pitch on Saturday. And then I said, you know what? I'm trading for him because I think he could be a top pitcher.
Was that buying high? Would you consider that?
I don't know. I mean, Teoscar straight up for Ohtani in a dynasty league. Who am I selling? Who's buying high and who's buying low? I don't know.
The person getting Teoscar is buying high. I mean, how much better can he get than he's been?
He's pretty good, though.
Over still, 19 and 20.
But those StatCast numbers on Teoscar are no joke. I mean, he's up there with Marcelo Ozuna in terms of StatCast. But I wanted Ohtani. He wanted Teoscar. We found our deal. I also gave him Stephen Brault, who, when I drafted in that league, Eno sent me a cursing text that I had taken his Brault. So I also added that, and I got Miguel Vargas back in the deal as well, who's a third baseman in the Dodger system that I do like.
All right.
Yeah, I'm not on Teoscar Hernandez in Dynasty at all. I think that's a huge windfall, trading him away and getting back Otani, because there's so many ways Otani could be amazing for a long time. And Teoscar has run a 30% K rate for his career. He's already 28 years old. Yeah, maybe it lasts for a year or two, but this is not a skill set that's going to age well. I don't think we're going to be talking about Teoscar Hernandez as a good fantasy player 4 or 5 years from now.
Okay. I obviously agree to a certain extent. No, I agree to a certain extent. I made the trade. I made the phone call to him to say, hey, let's make this trade. I'd like to, you have, because he had Otani. Look, this is another thing for Dynasty Leagues, right? Look at the other team. See where he has players, or she, where they have players. See where they have the players. He had Otani in a util spot, not in a pitcher spot. I'm buying the pitcher. I want the pitcher. I'll take the hitter too, but I want the pitcher. I think he could be, I don't want to say this, but I think if things go right for him, 30% chance he could be a top 10 pitcher in baseball. 30% chance. Steve Gardner, our friend Steve Gardner, I spoke to him. He was asked who his MVP was going to be this year in the American League, and he said Shohei Ohtani. That's who he thinks is going to he put Shohei Ohtani up there. And he and I were fighting in AL Labor, and he pulled an Aaron Judge trick on me again where I thought I had him at 15, and then he just slipped in to 16. I was like, all right,
you hate that, don't you? When someone got on going twice and someone just pops in?
Going once, going twice, that's when he pops him.
Really makes you hate that person, right?
Steve Gardner's my partner and my friend, so no, I don't hate him. But this, look, one thing, before we...
What if you had your own teams, yeah?
Then I would be, I would go, damn. But look at the Statcast numbers. Just one thing on Teoscar, like, let's not write his obituary yet. His hard hit, his exit velocity, 98 percentile. Hard hit, 96 percentile. XWOBA, 95 percentile. Barrel rate, 98 percentile. X slug, 97. X batting average, 92. That's really good. Sprint speed, 85. So he's not done. He's still a really good player.
Yeah. I think the hype might have gotten a little too much, though.
I think, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's all about perception. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you think you're, like, there's someone out there like me who doesn't believe in Teoscar Hernandez, which kind of keeps his price kind of low. You know, maybe he's on my team and I don't like him, and it's just the way it landed. I took a shot on him like 3 years ago when he was supposed to be huge, and now I'm willing to sell because he was just kind of meh. You know.
Well, we traded for him before last year, because I was really, if you remember, I was really high on Teoscar last year going into the season. And I traded, my partner Wilson Karaman and I traded Christian Vasquez straight up for Teoscar. That was the, in a one catcher league. And because Teoscar was on his bench, so I was like, he's not so high on Teoscar. Look at the other team's rosters. The owner for Ohtani had him in a util spot. So I said, okay, he's thinking of him as a hitter. I'm going to give him a better hitter than I would take Teoscar the hitter over Ohtani the hitter, because Ohtani's only going to hit 4 or 5 days a week at most, right? He's not going to hit when he pitches. So I'm playing off of that. And I go, you need a bat. You don't have Ohtani as a pitcher. Your pitching is good. You're looking for a bat. I'm going to give you a better bat for Ohtani, and I'm going to take the value there, or what I think is value. We'll see.
All right.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
One more thing before we get to Ian's part of the show. Hunter Green, and Ian, I don't want to specifically hit you with this, but DVR is also doing a very large piece on rookies, fantasy rookies, fantasy impact rookies. So maybe this is for both of you, but a couple days ago, a few days ago, whenever it was, Hunter Green was dealing like 102, 103 miles an hour, and everyone was buzzing about it. And I just want to know what that does for his stock in Dynasty. Like, I know a lot of people probably... You know, went and looked at Hunter Green, took a look at his Roto World, whatever, NBC Sports Edge page, Roto Wire, Roto Baller, and just tried to look up what was going on with this guy because, you know, he's been hurt, he's been up and down, he was a top prospect, and now he's just gassing. What's the take? What's our takeaway from this, actually?
I think we're probably at that part of the Hunter Green recovery where the price is shooting back up really quickly again, and I mean, he's one of those guys he would have pitched in the minors somewhere last year because he had surgery and missed 2019, right? So the lost minor league season kind of just gives us this open question of, well, how much did he progress at the alternate site and how much did he progress on his own in 2020? If he had come back last year and there had been a minor league season, I imagine they would have set him to high A, at least to begin the year, and maybe he would have reached double A. And if he had reached double A in 2020... he'd be on the radar for a possible 2021 debut. So I think he could get here a little sooner than expected. I wonder, you know, long term, how likely is he to stick as a starter? I imagine they think he's absolutely going to stick as a starter. They took him second overall back in 2017. But I wonder if they want to bring him up even sooner and just use him as part of their bullpen and eventually stretch him back out down the road.
I like Hunter Green a lot. Hunter Green is good. Hunter Green, when he came out, not just the pedigree, not just the arm, but also the kid, the young man. He's not a kid anymore, but the young man. I like Hunter Green an awful lot. I have a certain regret that in XFL that I did not keep him in XFL. That might be something that I'm going to have to fix going into the draft. I do like Hunter Green an awful lot. I think he has a lot of upside. I think he's going to be a starter, and I think he could be really, really good. The only question about him sometimes is that he throws hard as heck, but is the ball just a little bit too straight? That's my concern.
Yeah, that does come up sometimes with the triple digit fastballs. Like, they're so fast, they don't necessarily have movement.
And because players now, what they're doing is they're ramping up the pitching machines to 105, 103. That's why people can you know, hit 101, 102 in a way that 5 years ago they weren't. Maybe that didn't just start, but I'm noticing that that's something that they're doing quite a bit of. And you're seeing people who can catch up. But I like Hunter Green. I like just so much about him.
All right. Well, actually, before I move on, I don't want to just give that an all right. Are you going to move it, like, with this, any of these performances going to be like, all right, maybe I should bump him up like 15 spots in the old dynasty rankings?
Yes. Yes. I mean, Bobby Witt is going to go up in the dynasty rankings. There's no question.
When are we
going to
have that update?
We'll have the update right before the season, I think. I don't think we want to update it anytime. We can't update it every week.
I feel like dynasty drafts are kind of almost over right now. Right.
Yeah, but dynasty trades are not. And these lists should be used for dynasty trades. That's what they're for. And let me just say this again.
Well, we
got to
get Royce Lewis out of there.
Yeah,
so
we
gotta do an
but,
update anyway. I mean, might as well throw a couple extras if you want.
Okay. Right. But the rebuild list is not to be used for trades. I want to say that again. Like, if you use the rebuild list for trades, you're really hurting yourself. You've got to use the win now prices. Use the win now prices.
Got it.
Okay.
All right.
Just had to say that again.
Now it's time for the Ian part of the show.
No, you got to do Jose De Leon real quick.
No, I was saying that's just a throwaway if we had time. Don't worry about
okay.
it.
Okay. All right.
There's more important, like AL, I think people want to get AL only pricing out there, you know?
Well, look, man, I was sitting at a table on Sunday with, and DVR did Saturday, right? I mean, DVR, just give a quick recap just in case there are people who haven't heard Rates and Barrels. What's it like to sit at that table, even though it's virtual? You're playing with the best players in the game, wouldn't you say? Best, you know, for trading leagues. I'm not going to talk about NFBC. I don't want to get into all that about, like, you know, what's real, what's not, you know. But for for trading leagues, you were sitting at the table with some of the best players in the game. What's that like for you?
It's always a challenge because I think this room doesn't miss anything. I think there's one area that I was surprised by, though, the prices of second-tier pitching. So if you look at Steven Strasburg, I think at the high end of that range was a $16 buy for Steve Gardner. And then like Sixto Sanchez was down at 11 for some reason. That group, Julio Urias was in there, I think, for 12. Corbin Burns for 14. That group all came off the board after the $20-plus pitchers, right? I got Woodruff and Flaherty at 24 and 25 early and thought, this is great. I expected those guys to get closer to 30. And then you get even bigger discounts on that next group. That was one of the surprises. I don't know if that would happen again if we look at NL Tout in a couple of weeks. I'm not in that auction, but you know they're pretty comparable in terms of how the pitching gets priced out. I'd be curious to see if that value disappears as people make some adjustments. But you know, every year it's a challenge. You know, there's Eric Carabel, I think, has had about as much success in this particular room as anybody. And he builds teams kind of the opposite way that I do. I go a little more stars and scrubs with my build. He's a little more balanced. And I think it's always interesting to look at just how different our teams are coming out of the auction. And if you look at the standings later in the year, usually we're both among the teams contending to win the league. So I think it's proof that you could win with either one of those strategies. It just comes down to execution and being very patient, I think, if you're going to go really Eric's route. I think you got to be patient early. If you go aggressive early, you have to know when to jump back in. So there's still some similar traits in the auction itself, regardless of which path you choose. But I don't know. Like I just think it's one of those leagues that every year it's more difficult than the year before, because the room keeps getting smarter. I would say that's true of other types of leagues too, right? I think the NFBC gets harder every year. I think TGFBI gets harder every year. And you know where those leagues are starting from, I'm sure that could be several pod episodes and lots of arguments and fights on Twitter that I don't really want to get into. So we're definitely not going down that path. But it was a challenging room because early especially, I felt like the top-end hitters were going for full freight and then some. And that's not always the case in NL labor. Sometimes you actually get those players closer to their projected number.
Where's Fred Zinke? Which labor is he's in mixed labor? All right. Sorry. Just wondering, because you just made me, you know, you're building a team, but then, yeah, there are trades. And if you're in a league with Fred Zinke, he has such a way. And I'm sure, Ian, actually, have you ever played in a league with Fred Zinke?
Not yet.
Oh,
not yet.
How about Pianowski?
Nope, not yet. I have not played with those guys. So I do know, I've heard that Fred Zinke trades the way that he trades as often as I do.
Yeah.
And is looking to make deals. So I'm a fan of that for sure.
Pianowski too. Those are the two best in my entire life of playing these games. Those two stand out. And Scott White actually is really good at this too. They're just very fair traders and the way they approach it. And Ian, I'm sure you'd get along with these guys. Like the four of you should be in a league at some point together. Because I would love to watch how this trading stuff happens.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I don't know if this came clear last week, how scared I was, nervous I was. I was talking about how I got to work.
The
last week of my life was 100% dedicated, outside of my work and outside of my family, was 100% dedicated to this draft. And I called in as much help as I could have. I reached out to Gene McCaffrey, who does the AL rankings for us, AL and NL rankings. Had a good, great conversation with Gene. He was incredibly helpful.
How cool is Gene?
Lovely.
He's awesome. Like the best. He's the best.
He could not have been more helpful. And the three guys he told me that I really should go after, I got. So I'm really happy about that.
You should. Did he send you his, but I don't want to take you off, but did he send you his, the Wise Guy Baseball?
No, we just talked for a while.
Let me forward.
We talked for a while.
You can read this thing and just be like, "Oh my god! Like, this is my favorite fantasy writer of all time." When you're done, DVR, you got it right.
Nah, maybe I've seen it in the past. I don't think I've seen it this year.
I used to buy it. Like, you know, we can get stuff for free. Like, I used to buy it because like it was just so good. And I read it and I'm like, man, this guy, like, he's so good. Anyway, sorry, continue.
No problem. So I also reached out. Look, if if you win leagues and I'm in the league with you, I want to know how you're winning. Like, so I try to learn from the guys. So I was on the phone with Alex Cushing more than you can imagine. And the person I was on the phone even more with this week was Ariel Cohen, really trying to understand his auction strategy. And it really helped a lot because the hot spots were plentiful in the AL labor draft. And I really was working from that hot spot. Look, this is a league where Clay Link is in it. Brett Sayre, Tristan Cockrell, Steve Gardner, Dave Adler from HQ, Eno Saris, Jason Collette, Todd Zola, Ambrosius and Childs, Colton and the Wolfman, myself, and Larry Schechter. When you sit at a table with Larry Schechter, you are sitting at a table. And all of these guys, every one of these guys is to me, the best in the game. So it was like, all right, here we go. So I really, you know, I was really just taking nothing for granted. This was my absolute thing. And frankly, it worked out. To plan, because what I felt in AL this year was the place to get bargains were in the corner and the middle infield, and other places you got to pay up a little bit. So I'll read down my list of teams, and I wanted to pay for a catcher, and Colton and the Wolfman and I fought over Gary Sanchez like we do in every league ever, who came out in the first round. And I took Sanchez for $15, which may seem like a lot, but in AL only, I like that price. You know, Christian Vasquez went for 16. What's that guy's name who also went for 15? Catcher from the Twins. What's his name, Ian?
Garver.
Yep, thank you. Garver went for 15. So Sanchez going for 15. I like how he looks in spring training. He's doing great. I'm going for it. Took Max Stassi for $2. That was a Gene McCaffrey. First base, I got Rowdy Tellez late for $5. And that was part of the plan. And getting Tellez for $5 in AL only is pretty exciting. Second base, Fletcher for $9. I had him priced out at like 13. I wasn't planning to get Fletcher. I was looking for Cesar Hernandez or Jonathan Scope, thinking that I could get value there. Because what you want is you want at-bats, counting stats. It's AL only. That's one of the things I learned from last year. Zero holes. I want guys who are going to play every single day. I don't want platoon, strong side platoon, weak side platoon. Don't want to do that. Want to avoid $1 players. I only took one $1 player, and I like that $1 player. I'll get to him in a minute. Jose Iglesias at shortstop, third base. This is where I paid. I paid for Jose Ramirez. I got him for $39 really early in the draft because it looked like the top players, Trout went for 41. Trout could have gone for 44. He didn't. So I said, all right, if Ramirez is at 39, I'm going to go to 39. I'm not going to go to 40. He was sitting there. I didn't even bid till it was 38, going once, going twice. I went, all right, 39. And then I was waiting for somebody to take it over. No. All right, fine. So I'm going to shift my plan. I was going to go for Mondesi. Now I'm not going to go for Mondesi because the other player that I really wanted was Tim Anderson. And I paid $30 for Tim Anderson. So Ramirez and Anderson were my building blocks because what it was going to give me was average because I knew that there were other players that I was going to go after that I wanted. And going to give me speed, which in AL only. So I didn't get Mondesi, but with Ramirez and Anderson, I spread the risk a little bit. All very good. At the corner, I got my man, Heimer Candelario, which was very, very exciting. And then the outfield, I bought Joey Gallo for $21 because I believe in what's happening in spring training. And I think that he's going to have a real comeback. So then I had to protect the average. So I took Alex Verdugo for $22. I got Hunter Renfro for $9, which was another Gene McCaffrey pick. Oscar Mercado for $7. We were talking about him earlier. And then finished it off with another Gene McCaffrey pick with Cedric Mullins. So I felt really good because, I mean, there's some risk with Mullins. He may not play. If he's not going to play, I'll waiver wire it. But I think he's worth it. He's going to bring some speed. There's some balance there with Mercado and Mullins, bringing speed along with Anderson and Ramirez. So if and Fletcher's going to throw in a couple of steals as well. There's enough power at utility. I've got Renato Nunez, and who I got for $4. So I felt like I got a lot of value up and down the line. Which is really what Ariel was teaching me all weekend, and Cushing too. I was like, Cushing, how do you do so well all the time in auctions? He's like, I don't overpay. Like, you may want Byron Buxton, but Byron Buxton was at $23. So do I want to pay $24 for Byron Buxton? No, I don't. I don't need to because I already paid for Jose Ramirez and Tim Anderson, even though Buxton was a target for me. All right. So that those are the hitters.
Hold on, don't you have to overpay at some point? And I'm not like, I love Cushing, right? And I totally am with you that he's, like, you put him, you put Adam Ronis almost in the same category with how much they've won. And Ian, you'll be there too, you know, someday. But,
oh, thanks, pal.
Hey, no problem. But yeah, dude, like I, you have to overpay at some point, don't you? I think it's just where you overpay, because you could get stuck, you know, an hour and a half in and be like, I only got one player because I'm not overpaying for anybody.
Well, that's part of why I took Jose Ramirez early, right? That's part of why I allocated a lot of money to one player so I wouldn't find myself in that situation. So I could find myself. So I bought Ramirez, Anderson, and Sanchez, all three in the first round. So I had already gotten rid of like $84 was already off the table. I then really just sat and waited for like an hour and a half. I was playing, I was bidding on players, but as soon as it left the value tier, I got out, right? I got out. And I waited for the next player. So then I could get the, you know, in some projections, Rowdy Tellez is a $14 player in AL only. And I got him for five, you know, and I wasn't going to bet on Fletcher, but he was at six. So I went, you know what, for six, I've got him at 12 or 13. I'm going to bid seven for sure. And then the guy came back and did eight. And then I was like, all right, nine, I'll feel great if I get him for nine. And then the room stopped. So I got him for nine. I think that that's, there's value in this. There's value in getting value, which you'll hear in the impression a little bit later. DVR, do you have any thoughts on the hitting all
I'm
around?
I'm sorry, we're out of time, actually. We've hit the hour. We got to go. You had plenty of chances.
Okay. DVR, do you have any thoughts real quick on the hitting?
I think it was smart to get the batting average foundation in place, knowing the types of players you're going to get later, right? I mean, with Ramirez and Anderson, like you said, that batting average foundation is just as important as getting those bags. I think it is anyway, because that opened up the possibility of getting Gallo, who really only drags in that one category. He even at least gets you a handful of bags. Obviously, the home runs are going to be there. The runs and RBIs are above average as well. So he's good in four categories. As for a format like this, that doesn't work as well if you don't have high volume, elite batting average players locked into the roster.
Yep.
So thinking through that up front, okay, if I get these guys, I can get these guys later. Had you gone with Mondesi as a foundational hitter, I'm guessing you're not getting Joey Gallo at 21 on the same roster, even if you like him at that price.
I can afford to take Gallo and Sanchez with their batting average risk because of Ramirez, Anderson, Iglesias, and Fletcher. And Verdugo, like that's I'm trying to balance you, because that's a weakness in my game. Batting average is a weakness in my game. And if you understand where your weaknesses are and you can improve them, that's how you grow as a player. Then I'm moving on to pitchers real quick. I paid up for Liam Hendricks. I paid $23. It was me and Schechter down at the end. I bid 21. He bid 22. And Cushing had said to me, he's like, if you want the top closer, you better pay. I mean, I got coaching guys. These guys were coaching me. I was getting consultations. And when the draft was going, it was all me. You know, it was, they were texting me. I hopped on a call in a break every once in a while, like, hey, it's going decent. But these guys coached me up, and I spent the time and I learned from them. And I feel like it served me. We'll see. You know, it's, everyone looks good at the draft. Everyone feels that their team is just what they wanted. So I did spend 23 on Hendricks. Lockdown, I think, the best closer in baseball in an AL only. I'm going to count on him. And then I handcuffed him with Aaron Bummer, thinking of UDVR, in the second round of the reserves, just so I made sure that, although Garrett Crochet, Tristan Cockcroft took him with the first pick in the reserves, which made me a little nervous. Anyway, I took Frankie Montas for 12. Jameson Taillon for 11, John Means for 10, Mike Minor for 8, Diego Castillo for 8, which I think I overpaid $2 on that. I really should have stopped at 6, but he will give me maybe a third of the save. So him combined with Hendricks, Nate Pearson for 4, which in AL only makes good sense. I think he's going to start on the IL. That'll free me up to stream in the early weeks. Robbie Ray for $4. Hello, everybody. Look out
that
for
can turn
Robbie
out
Ray.
Either, yeah.
But if he, the thing that made me want that, and I was going to go even a little bit higher with Robbie Ray, was he pitched on over the weekend. He pitched 28 pitches. How many do you think were strikes?
27.
Probably like 20.
26. 26 out of 28.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, 26 out of 28 pitches were strikes. He's got amazing stuff. If he can put it together, that'll be a real nice piece to this team. Gregory Soto was my $1 player. Felt great about it. Felt great about him. And then in the reserves, I took Matt Shoemaker as my first pick. So he's going to go in the rotation for Pearson. I feel great about that. And then the second pick, I went with, I went with Chris Davis with a K, I think, second. So if any of my corners, if Nunez doesn't work out, or if Candelario will work out, and Tellez doesn't work out, I have somebody who I can move into my DH spot. And then I took Aaron Bummer, then Tyler Chatwood, Justin Dunn, and then finished with your boy, Franklin Barreto. So overall...
Yeah, Justin Dunn, actually. Let's not gloss over him. I mean, maybe we'll save it for next show.
But overall, I felt good. You know, I think a lot of teams did really well. I think Eno Saris did well. I think Larry Schechter, as always, did well. Clay Link did well. Brett Sarah. I mean, everyone built a good team. Colton the Wolfman, for sure, as always. You know, many time champions of Tout Wars and Labor. Those guys are Hall of Famers for a reason. So it was a really good experience. I feel like I did everything I could to put my team into a chance to possibly compete. And that's it. Those are my feelings.
You got to ask DVR this, but I don't know if we have time for the Ariel Cohen. You want to take us out as Ariel Cohen?
Well, I could do it. Do
your Ariel Cohen and take us out.
Well, no, you still have to do for the man because people love that. But DVR, real quick.
What if I send them to you and you can just read them?
No. DVR, real quick. What do you think of that?
I think the pitching has a little more risk than the hitting, right? Your hitting is really strong throughout. I think I could see your pitching ratios being a problem. Like that's where I think you have the most risk. I think you have a lot of innings. I think you have a lot of Ks. I think paying up for a closer is smart this year, especially in a deep league. So, I mean, in an only league, it's hard not to have one weakness or
but
one
remember,
trouble spot.
Remember, the reason you're getting Burns for $14, all of the pitching is the National League. All of it. You have in the American League, your number one is Cole. Your number two is Bieber. Your number three is Giolito. That's it. That's the list. After that, you got Tyler Glass now, who's pretty good. But then you're dropping down to Lance Lynn and Zach Greinke. Whereas your top 10, you know, of the top 20 pitchers, 15 of them are in the NL. And then the next group, NL, the pitching is in the National League. So all of the pitching is risk. So I decided instead of paying up for Lance Lynn, instead of paying up for Zach Greinke, I wanted to live in the $10 area. That's really where I wanted to live on pitching. But I wanted to spread that risk as much as I possibly could.
That yeah, I think you did that. I think you executed that plan very well.
That was the plan. It's our Mega Auction Strategy Podcast. Join us with guest Derek Van Riper from The Athletic. Pitchers and catchers are upon us. That's debatable between auction and draft strategy. But either way, you want to find your hotspot to get the most value for your auction price because with value comes winning. Take it from me, 2016 presidential candidate Ariel Cohen. And you can look it up.
Is that it?
Did you hear what I said about 2016 presidential candidate Ariel Cohen?
I don't get it.
He ran for president of the United States in 2016.
That's interesting.
Do you want to hear the story? I could tell it to you quick.
Is there such a thing? Hey, it's DVR, man. He's the one who's got to edit out all these player names.
So
no, here, I actually have a pod starting in about 15 minutes. So
okay, so I will hold off on the story and I will tell the story next week if people are interested of how Ariel Cohen actually ran for president of the United States in 2016 and got 37 votes. That is true.
If he ran in 2024, would you vote for him? Hold that thought. Let us know next show.
No.
I don't want to put you in a weird spot.
No, it's okay.
Well, you don't think he'd be a good president?
I think that there are better people for that role. I think there's nobody better to help coach you up on how to be a better auction player. You should listen to Beat the Shift podcast. If you've got an auction coming up, go back to the auction one that was with Derek Van Riper because Derek Van Riper. All right, get us out of here.
We got to get out of here. You sure you don't want to take us out as Ariel Cohen?
I'm positive. Keep going.
All right. For the man who's going to spend all day finding a beep long enough to cover all of Ian's players' last names, Derek Van Riper.
That's not happening. I'm going to talk to Cody Stavenhagen about the Tigers.
For the guy who has this comic book called Superman he'd like to tell you about if you remember it, Ian Khan.
That's me. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Go get your Christian Stewarts now. Bye.
Bye. Good talk.